Mayor Buttigieg, you're running for president. Why?
Well, the reason I filed an exploratory committee today is I believe we need to have a different generation coming forward. I belong to the generation that grew up with school shootings as the norm. I was in high school when Columbine happened. We provided most of the troops for the wars after 9/11, and I served in Afghanistan myself. And we stand to be the first in history to be worse off economically than our parents if things don't change. I think there's a voice that's been missing from the national debate, and I think coming also from the industrial Midwest, serving as mayor from a town that's really been on the business end of a lot of the changes that have happened to our manufacturing economy and to our economy more broadly, I really think that these are voices that need to be heard, and that the story of our city's comeback, looking at a fresh start, being honest about how change is going to work, and not pretending there's some kind of where you find greatness. I think people are ready for a message like that.
You know, you've been seen as a rising star in the Democratic Party for a couple of years now, but you know the number one question people will ask you is, why are you qualified to be president when you're the mayor of a town of South Bend? Is what, about 100,000 people, somewhere
That's
in that
right.
range?
Yeah.
How do you make the jump from being mayor of South Bend to being commander-in-chief, president of the United States?
Well, for one thing, I have more years of experience in government than the President of the United States does. I have more years of executive experience than the Vice President of the United States has. And I have more military experience than the two of them put together. I get that I'm the youngest person in this conversation, but I also believe that actually experience is one of the main reasons I should be in the mix. You know, the experience of guiding the comeback of a city that was written off in national media as dying at the beginning of this decade and is now growing again in the industrial Midwest, not through nostalgia, not through resentment, but through real problem-solving, getting things done in accordance with our values. I think that's what we need to bring to the table in Washington. And with all due respect to some of the other federal offices that people hold and the good people who hold them, I'm not sure that what we want is more of what we've been seeing in the United States Congress compared to what we've been seeing in our best-run American cities.
It's certainly true that in the last few cycles, people with very little or even no experience have run and become president. In the old days, you would be expected to wait your turn. And now we see people like you and Beto O'Rourke, Kamala Harris, going for it at a younger age. Why not run for governor of Indiana and work your way up? Why take such a big jump now?
I don't believe in running for an office so that you can run for some other office. Every time I've considered running for office, I've looked at the overall situation, what I think is needed in the office, and then I've looked at what I bring to the table. Those are the reasons I ran for mayor, and it's the reason I ran for chair of the DNC. It's also a similar thought process of discernment that led me to decide repeatedly not to run for U.S. Congress and not to run for governor. You don't run for an office in order to have it, especially at a moment like this. This is a time when I think people need to bring their best ideas, their best experience, and their best values into this conversation, and then let people decide how that maps on to what we want in the highest office in the land or any other office.
Here in the Bay Area, the fact that you're gay is going to be of great interest to people, and as far as I know, you're the first openly gay, you know, significant, viable presidential candidate. How do you see that being a factor in your campaign, and should it be?
Well, I'm certainly mindful that there's a historic quality to this, and I take that responsibility seriously, because I imagine what it would have meant to me as a much younger person to see somebody doing what I'm doing now. You know, when I was growing up, frankly, both a military career and a chance to run for office seemed like they were flatly incompatible with being out. The world is changing, but it hasn't changed yet, at least not all the way. And so my hope is that we will get to a day when this is that is not even newsworthy, but my belief is that having more representation, more out politicians at this moment is crucially important, if only that it will make it easier for the next person who comes along.
What issues do you think are going to be the most important in this primary race? Never mind the general, if you get that far, but to make you stand out and win the nomination, what issues are you going to hit the hardest, and which ones do you think we should be paying most attention to?
Well, my approach to the issues really revolves around three core values or ideas: freedom, security, and democracy. And that's my answer to people who say that our party can't explain itself on a bumper sticker. But when I talk about freedom, I mean a lot more than just freedom from regulation. I mean the freedom that goes with being able to marry the person that you love, the freedom associated with having health care taken care of so that that doesn't hold you back from living a life of your choosing or starting a business. Real positive freedom that, frankly, only good government can secure, just like bad government can infringe on it. When it comes to democracy, I think we're in a moment when, frankly, we're being tested on whether we are a democracy. I think we need to look at the Electoral College that makes it difficult for people in my home state of Indiana or yours of California to have a voice in presidential politics. We need to look at statehood for fellow American citizens, be they in D.C. or Puerto Rico or territories, who are excluded from some of the benefits of political representation. And so we need to look deep at those issues in our democracy, in addition to things we've been talking about for a while, like fair districting and money in politics. And then lastly, security. And I say that not only as somebody who specialized in counterterrorism and knows how important that is, but also 21st century security. That means things like cybersecurity and things like climate security that are hitting home. I don't need to tell people in California about how important climate security is and that it has already become a life and death issue. That's got to be part of our security framework going forward. And I'm eager, as perhaps one of the only war veterans in this conversation, to bring that perspective on what big picture 21st century security looks like.
Certainly you're a fresh face. How important do you think it is for the Democrats? You know, you see how the party has moved in the last couple of years. To not nominate someone like a Joe Biden or a Bernie Sanders, another, you know, old white guy, as opposed to at least a younger white guy. You're, I think you're half Joe Biden's age. This generational shift, is that a critical part of your candidacy?
I certainly think that the generational energy is one of the main reasons for us to look at getting into this. And I also think that people are ready for that. You know, our party has a way of breaking for newer and fresh faces. The two Democrats elected in my lifetime, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, were both not only young, but also people who were really unheard of until relatively soon before they began making that move. So I do think there's that dynamic just kind of generally among Democrats, and especially right now. It's not my place to comment on any of the other people getting into the mix. I think the more people get into this, the better. But I do think a wide open field with a lot of people is favorable for newcomers and for underdogs. And I'm, of course, self-aware enough to know that this is an underdog project, but I think that just creates that much more space for us to come in with original, bold ideas and an original, bold vocabulary. And I'm looking forward to developing that in the weeks to come.
One last question. Your name, Lord of the Poultry, I think, is the is the translation, if I have that correct. Is it a liability? Could it be an asset?
I don't know. You know, it's certainly an asset in the old white ethnic neighborhoods of the west side of South Bend, where people like to ask if you're Hungarian or Polish or Czech and assume you're one of those if you don't tell them something more specifically. I think at the end of the day, I have the benefit of the fact that elections ballots are multiple choice, so you don't have to spell it. You just have to pick me out of a lineup. I also think that, you know, this is a party that welcomes diversity. My name is an inheritance from my father, who came to this country because he knew what it meant for him in terms of educational opportunity. And I take that very seriously, too, being a voice of a first-generation American on my father's side, and what that perspective might add to the conversation.